Welcome back, everyone. It is another episode of Inside Boxing. We're presented by PPV.com. Ariel Helwani Show, Uncrowned Yahoo Sports, episode 499. We are one away from 500. Sunday will be episode 500. We will have balloons, celebrations, all the above. Can't believe it's been 499 episodes. It blows my mind. 10 years ago, or 9 years ago, I started this show almost to the day on the Monday following Triple G versus Golovkin. And then I saw on Facebook, which is the only reason I use Facebook these days, is
Triple G versus Canelo.
Triple G versus Canelo.
I have so many people reach out to me. They're like, I love when you correct Dan.
Well, that happens quite often. For 499 episodes, still can't get names right or ages or
pronunciations, definitions, yeah. Grammar, whatever.
So next episode will be number 500 on Sunday. 499 here. Started the show September of 2017. And then I saw on Facebook, which the only reason I use Facebook is for the memory tab. I like to look back on what I posted, cringy stuff, some fun stuff. You joined the show around this date, 2022.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was in the fall.
September of 2022.
Yeah, so that's 4 years. Wow.
Scary how time is flying.
4 years.
Scary.
And think about all we've done in these 4 years. We've got a nice little thing going.
I love it. I love the show. I love doing the show. I love everyone that's tuned in over the years. So, yeah, Sunday we'll touch more on that. But, you know, here's to 500 more episodes. I got a big one today. Ryan Garcia, Conor Benn, fight week is here. I am excited.
Fight week, the fight's here. Weigh-ins tomorrow. Press conferences today. This is it. We're in the heat.
Yes, we needed this to heat up. We need it to heat up. They need to let Oscar out of the cage. Is Oscar going to show up today? Where has Oscar been? Because I feel like it's been subdued. This is a Zuffa entity here. It's the second year in a row that Zuffa has the big September show. And I just feel like it's lacking a little bit. I put that out on Twitter to get a feeler, and a lot of people are like, well, Dan, like, it's not really that good of a fight. Like, it's two drug cheats. It's two guys that were gifted opportunities. It's too, like, we're not excited about it because it's not a good fight. And you can't fool boxing fans. I've always said that. But I'm excited. We're all going to be watching. I think it's a meaningful fight, and I think it's an important fight. I expect the promotion to ramp up as they go on the scales, which is an interesting part of this fight, and they hop on the stage for the press conference. They finally face off face-to-face because Ryan Garcia did skip the big media face-off.
Face-off, yeah.
So, yeah, I think the promotion will pick up.
Yeah. I think it was a miss not utilizing Oscar. He's an absolute lightning rod, always has been. But whatever. I mean, I'm more excited for this fight now than I think I was, because again, it like just like they were saying, the boxing media, boxing fans, boxing viewers are smart. It's not a great fight. It's not the most important fight in the weight class. It's two dynamic guys. Then I know there is a title on the line, which makes it a little juicier. But really, it's like it's what's next for this, you know, for the winner of this fight, which is huge. But I think all the drama and the lead up is good. The weight thing has become a major, major issue. Everybody's talking about that. You know, Ryan skipping the face off was interesting. That got people buzzing. So at least there is some buzz building. And I think these next couple of days are going to be pretty entertaining.
So Ryan skips the face off. And is it mental warfare? Is it because he doesn't want anyone to see that he looks like Skeletor as he's trying to make the weight? Is he struggling to make the weight? But then he shows up at the fight workout, and he looks fine.
Yeah, he looked good, actually. He looked fast. He looked twitchy.
And Ben looked good, too. Really lifted up the shirt, showed off the abs. So as much as I want to say the weight is going to be a thing here, because we've seen Ben not struggle. We haven't seen him fight at 147 since 2022. Ryan Garcia has had the weight issues and is a bigger guy. He's talking about ballooning up to 170. Conor Benn is talking about coming into the ring at 175 on Saturday. Conor Benn is talking about not fighting again at 147 after this, which I think is hurting the promotion too, as we sit here talk about the promotion. Because you have a guy in Benn, it's like, oh, this is my last fight at 147. Like, don't say that. Like, stop saying that.
Now, save that for the post-fight press conference. Save that for when you've got the belt over your shoulder and you're like, all right, guys, you know, like I won the title, I did it, but I this making this weight's too much. I got through this one. I'm moving up, guys. You know, doing it before, like you said, it definitely hurts the promotion. It hurts the idea of being a champion. It's especially for a guy who's never been a champion and wants to be a champion so bad that, you know, already saying you're not going to defend the title, you're going to move up immediately. He's talking about going up to 68. Looks like he's chasing that Eubank trilogy.
Oh God, please no.
Yeah, not a great move. Not a great move for the promotion, for his brand. And you know, but these guys are hated, you know, and they're kind of like two heels.
Oh, Paul, you took it right out of my notes because Ryan Garcia, Conor Benn, there's no real fan favorite in this fight. It's two heels. It's two fighters who serve PED suspension. It's two fighters who were gifted title opportunities. Two guys that don't really belong at welterweight. I do think it'll be a fun fight, not necessarily a good fight, but you can't fool the boxing fans. They know what a good fight is. They know what a mediocre fight is. They know guys that don't belong at certain levels, but there is no fan favorite here. Like there really isn't. It's two guys. Like I think fans would root for a double knockdown in this fight. Is it Ryan Garcia? Is it Conor Benn? Like I
double knockout,
double knockdown, double knockout. Any of the two. But yeah, there's two heels that they're almost like mirror images of each other when it comes to marketing and it comes to how their careers have gone up to a certain degree. I think Ryan will be the fan favorite.
To a degree, but...
Keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say to a degree because with Ben, it's nepotism. Like, it's his dad. His dad is a legit great. And with Ryan, he didn't have, he doesn't have the genealogical pedigree, but he's a legit star. But he's also was a really good amateur. Like, he's a multiple, like, I think he's like a 12 or 13 time national champion as a kid coming up. He fought, the likes of Devin Haney and the amateurs. He's got that. He built up to this point in the way that you're supposed to. He just did it also while, developing a really, really strong social media, star attraction. And then finally got a title. But yeah, they're similar and they're not. But but they're in the same place, meeting each other on Saturday.
Wild. They get into that ring. I think first question, fair question to ask is which Ryan Garcia will show up. We've seen good Ryan Garcia against Mario Barrios. Turns out Barrios was not offering anything, no resistance, didn't throw a lot of punches in that fight. Ryan looked like a world beater, landed a career high 82 jabs, landed 103 power shots after landing just 18 power shots against Rolly. The Rolly fight was a disaster. We look to that as the bad. And that was just one fight ago before the Barrios fight. This wasn't like, hey, we're talking about a fight from 5 years ago or multiple years ago. The Ryan Rolly fight was in 2025 in May. So it is fair to ask still which Ryan Garcia will show up on Saturday versus Conor Benn.
I think that's the main question. And then when it comes down to, we'll give our picks in a bit, but when it comes down to who wins this fight, it really depends on Ryan. Because I think Ryan is the guy. Most people are picking Ryan to win. Vegas is picking Ryan to win. Most experts are picking Ryan to win. But like you said, Ryan shows up flat sometimes, and he just doesn't perform, and he underperforms. But when he's on, he's a nightmare. But is he going to be on? That's really the question. Because Ben, whether his performances are good based on his, whether he's, performance-wise and on his boxing, that's neither here nor there. But in terms of his effort, he's always going to bring it. He's always going to show up. He trains super hard. He's going to be fit. He's going to try. He's a bit of a try hard. So he's going to show up in terms of that. But in terms of Ryan, we don't know that. And that's really the question. Because again, I think if Ryan shows up, it's pretty easy victory for him. But what version are we going to get?
I want to see if he unlocks that jab again.
I mean, Barrios was just a stationary target.
Sitting duck.
If you want to practice how to use your jab, Barrios is a pretty good guy. He's heavy on his front foot. He doesn't move his head. He doesn't change levels. So that's a good practice your jab type fight, which is crazy because it was a world title fight. Ben is trickier. The herky jerkiness can make it harder to find with the jab because he's very jerky. But I don't know. I don't know how much that's going to play a role. I think Ryan probably goes back to what he used to do with the jab, which is more of a rangefinder to find the left hook for timing.
He did DM me a few times about the jab numbers. Upset. Thinks the CompuBox was not properly counting his jabs. I got a great jab. That's what he told me. I was like...
That was years ago. I mean, he's developed quite a bit since then.
I think he was averaging two jabs a round for like the majority of his career.
and a lot of the pawing, posting,
prodding. Like when I was training as a combat box counter, you would not to counter jab unless it pronated. That was the word that Bob Kenobi would use. You snap that elbow and you pronate. You're actually trying to land it. Where Ryan, we've talked about this before, he uses it as that range find. He like puts it out there and he's kind of using it to mask the right hand.
I think he did that more in the lighter weight classes because he had such a ridiculous height and reach advantage. You know, he's 5'9".
He's tall.
With a 70-inch reach. Yeah, he's pretty tall, but like at welterweight, you're not really that, he's not really that tall at welterweight, but at 130, when he was fighting at 130 and 135, he was very, very tall. Very, very tall, very long. And he used that. He was able to keep guys. He was also way bigger than guys, so he was strong. And he'd be able to post that out and keep a guy on end of it and then wait for them to take that step across that line, and then he'd whip that left hook, which he does have a very good trigger pull on that.
I do want to see him show out. I do want to, like, I think we need Ryan Garcia in boxing to be at his best. Like, I was thinking about it the other day. Like, the Rolly fight was an utter disaster. The whole card was a disaster. But for Ryan to go in there and lay an egg and land 18 power shots and lose to Rolly is a massive favor. That messed up so many things. And to even to go back further, not to get too deep into this, with the Haney stuff and the buildup to that fight where he was just going through a manic episode and dropping slurs and just every day was something new. Because now you see him, he's with streamers, he's mainstream. He's looks the part. He's got the green belt on his shoulder. He's doing Fallon. You know, he's kind of one of the very few crossover stars that boxing has. But I'm like, ah, man, imagine he didn't look like shit against Rolly. Like, imagine he didn't have that manic episode where we could pull up tweets where he's saying all crazy stuff. Because everything has to go perfectly right as you're on the come up. Like, look at Oscar. I mean, they're going to be compared, but Oscar was so much better of a fighter. But he just had
Oscar's also an Olympic gold medal.
Right, but I'm like, just, okay, Oscar's maybe not just Oscar's just the best example.
Different species.
But just like the stars of the 90s. Like, they didn't do any of this, the stuff that Ryan did. They didn't have a hiccup. You know, they were pretty much perfect. And then they got in the ring and they showed out and they became stars. Like, Ryan's like pretty much the best we got these days in terms of America ticket sales, him, Benavidez, and a few others. But he has his faults and he has those issues in the past that I feel like he just wants to just flush. But they're always going to be brought up.
If he didn't have the disaster against Rollies, I don't think we get this fight.
You think he would have fought Haney then?
Yeah, but also I think people would look at this fight as a complete mismatch. Because that's the only way you give this fight. And you're like, oh, well, Ryan doesn't show up sometimes. And, you know, Rolly at this weight 2 years ago completely put up a dud. That there's a path for Ben's victory because of that. So if that didn't happen, I don't think this fight would even really get thought of realistically.
As for Conor, Ben has not fought at 147 since 2022. No stoppages since 2021. His last fight was a 10-round decision against an aging and now retired Regis Progray, which was scheduled at 150 pounds. So he could not hurt Regis. He got two cuts over his eyes. That was not how Ben wanted that fight to go. Despite all that, I just said, he is the number one ranked welterweight by the WBC, which is why people are angry with this fight.
But also, despite the Rolly Romero disaster, Ryan stepped into a world title fight against Mario Barros, who everyone wanted to fight.
Spider-Man meme. Like, so, they're looking at each other.
Yeah, it's like, wait, you don't belong here. You don't belong here.
Yeah, but we're gonna capitalize on the poor state of the sport at the current moment, or the poor state of the division, I should say.
Well, it's a crossover fight. It's why it's here. This is not meritocracy. This is boxing.
The meritocracy doesn't exist in boxing. It's one of my favorite sayings that I came up with, guys. Meritocracy does not exist. That's what should be the title of this fight, like under the poster. Meritocracy with an X through it. Nepotism. Yes.
That's great. Nepotism versus popularity.
Popularity. Yes. But for Ben, the big thing is the weight. It's on our thumbnail for this episode. The wait is over. Like, we do this episodes on Thursday, so we don't know if they're going to make weight. We hope they make weight. I think it's a big, big part of this promotion and a big part of this buildup is, can Ben perform at the weight? He hasn't been down at 147 in a very, very long time. I don't know how he's going to perform. He looked good against Eubank in the first fight. He looked good against Eubank in the second fight. That was at 160. 13-pound difference. Is he going to be drained? Is his chin going to not hold up? Because he has, one thing about Conor Ben, has a good chin. The weight is such a big thing here, and not only making it, how he's going to perform in the ring at welterweight.
Yes, and part of me was thinking, it's like, oh, is this a really smart marketing ploy by Team Ben to really talk about the weight, push the weight, like the weight's really a problem, you know, kind of get people to think like, oh, no, you know, like he's going to get run over, and then they come in strong. But the issue with that is, because some people have brought that up, I've thought about that too. I'm like, oh, they're making such a big deal about this. This is like the story of the week and of the fight. You know, is this a very smart tactic, a strategy? But it's hard for me to forget that performance against Progre. Seeing him on the scale at 150 and just looking so gaunt and sickly. And it's one thing to look bad on the scale, because that happens. That happens. And then, but then you go out there against a guy, Progre, who... You said he was, you know, he's now retired. He was half retired in that fight, and he kind of said that. You know, he had no legs, but a guy who had been dropped by Haney, a guy who went to absolute war, almost getting stopped by Jojo Diaz, who's really a 30-pounder who hasn't won a fight in a number of years, to getting dropped by Catterall. Like, all these guys that are not punchers put Progre on the canvas, and Ben couldn't. And you got to blame the weight for that, because we saw him on the scale and then we saw the performance. So I can't forget that performance, because that was the last time we saw him anywhere near this weight. And it wasn't that long ago. So yeah, the idea of it's a strategy for the weight, I don't see that. Also, it's just like all these pictures of him coming out. Like his eyes look sucked in 3 weeks ago.
This one is nuts. I think I just had it up. Oh, that's not it. There it is.
That's not it. Yeah, no, that doesn't.
So look at his neck.
But again, listen. For people at home, yeah, I know he's lost so much muscle.
This was 3 weeks ago. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Eyes sucked in 3 weeks ago, but
that's not Photoshop, guys.
Again,
Zuffa tweeted
for people
that.
At home. For people at home, though, as a fighter, you can lose 5, 6, 7 pounds in a workout. They're obviously taking that at the end of the workout. He's already worked out. He's already completely dehydrated himself, you know, for where he was at that point. So looking gaunt there isn't necessarily how he's going to look, because he hasn't looked like that. I mean, you see him in between, you see him doing interviews. He's fuller.
He looks way better.
But
now.
On the scale tomorrow, though, because he's still got weight to go. Like, he's not on weight now. He's still going to have to pull weight. I think both guys are probably over quite a bit and are going to need to pull a lot of weight. I think they're both going to look gaunt on the scale. Ryan's put on a lot of muscle these last couple of years. I think they're both going to look gaunt on the scale, but I'm curious to see how drastically different they look.
Do you remember
if Ryan looks a little gaunt?
I'm sorry, keep going.
If Ryan's like a little gaunt and then Ben's like what we expect to be, then there's going to be a lot of questions.
Do you remember this much emphasis on weight, like 90s, 2000s?
No, I don't. There were certain guys where it was, like Arturo Gatti was notoriously like struggled to make weight. There was no, you know, the Joey Gamache fight was a big deal. Joey Gamache actually sued the New York State Athletic Commission because apparently Gotti didn't even make weight for that. He like jumped on the scale and jumped off and started drinking water immediately. And they were like, it's okay. He made it. He's fine.
Social media is playing a role. Or just like the fact that everything is now documented.
It could be that we have a lot more access into camps. I think also it's the advent of, honestly, this is going to be an interesting or weird maybe idea, is the advent of MMA. These guys cut so much weight, the MMA guys, way more than boxers, because they can. The fights are shorter. They have the ability to be on the ground and use your jiu-jitsu where weight really matters. I think it's partly that. We're getting more of these nutrition gurus and these guys who are yeah, masters of making weight and manipulating water. Also, the elephant in the room, drugs. Drugs are making guys bigger. Guys are able to cut more weight because of drugs. Yeah. So that's definitely an issue. I remember that from back in, even when I was still fighting. I was like, yeah, these guys are getting bigger. Drugs are becoming an issue. And people always think, well, oh, he's on steroids. Steroids make you big. That's not going to help boxer. No, they use it to make weight, guys. That's really why they're taking the drugs.
Diuretics.
They're using it to train harder, to train longer. Yeah, but not
I was thinking
that.
Of Roberto Duran when he took the Nomas.
Yeah, yeah. But packing on lean tissue, You carry more water with lean tissue. You're getting rid of completely all the fat from your body. You have more lean tissue. You have more muscle mass. You can pull more water out of your body. I've worked with athletes, and I'm gonna name drop two guys that I work with from Long Island days: Ryan LaFlair and Dennis Bermudez.
Legends.
Okay, two MMA guys that I work with. Yeah, two guys I worked with. They were, I think, my first nutrition clients. I was working with both of them at the same time. And for anyone who knows them, they're completely different body types. Ryan is very tall and very lean. Dennis is short, stockier, and carries more body fat. And the Ryan's ability to pull water out of his soft tissue because he was so muscular and lean was ridiculous. He would be overweight, but I wouldn't be worried because it's going to come off. With Dennis, though, Dennis was different. He held on to the weight differently, held on to the water differently. He had a little more body fat. He would get super lean come fight time, but he struggled with the weight more because of different body types and different, you know, physiques. So the more lean tissue you put on, the more water you can hold, the more water you can pull.
Wow. That's why you are who you are.
Yeah, I got to flash that stuff. Go back to my former career. People are like, "Oh, you still do nutrition?" I'm like, I don't have time.
Adjunct professor.
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah, I still do that.
But you get any calls from fighters to come work camps as a nutritionist, or just I know you were working with Zhang for a little bit.
Yeah, I worked with Zhang. I worked with Sullivan Barrera back in the day.
Has Moses Atama DM'd you?
No,
maybe he should.
I don't know. Again, I don't really have the time. I mean, certain ones here and there, like most of the time I work with like guys who are my friends, like Danny Jacobs, you know, Sullivan. They were the friends of mine. They asked me, because I'm always like, no, I don't really want to change my whole life to go do this thing with you. But if it's like someone who's gonna, I can help out that I know personally, like Zhang, I'm, you know, friends with his management, with
the Lane brothers,
physical trainers. The Lane brothers are great guys, but also Scooter Honig was a strength coach on Long Island. So those kind of guys were had like more direct access to arm's length, that would help.
Can you get me down to 175? I know we talked about this off air.
So we talked about this. We talked about this last night on my flight. I think we're gonna have to remodel Dan.
The number I'm seeing when I step on the scale, it's approaching Jai Opataya. Wait, this weekend. It's approaching.
Yeah, dude. I don't think you have the height for light heavy.
No, it's not a good visual. Like I saw a picture post on the other day, and I was like, dude, I'm starting to get like something around the tire thing. I got to get rid of that. Like, now's the time. So get me on that CA regimen.
We'll get you on the diet. We'll get you on some peptides.
I'm down for the peptides.
First of all, start with testosterone. That's the first.
I'm down with that too.
Start with testosterone. Testosterone first. Then we'll get your peptide stack ready.
I'm excited. But
testosterone.
I'm come out looking like a beast.
I'm excited.
Chris Mannix just tweeted this. The Nevada State Athletic Commission will rule today on a request to allow Ryan Garcia and Conor Benn to wear 8-ounce gloves if one or both comes in over the welterweight limit, according to two sources and a copy of the agenda. In Nevada, fights above 148 change to 10-ounce gloves.
Wow. Interesting.
So if both guys come over 147, they are still going to be allowed to wear 8-ounce gloves.
I don't like that. I don't care about the ruling. I don't like that they're already going that if these guys don't make weight, shit.
It's a big part of this promotion. It's like pretty much the number one thing of this promotion.
This is a world title fight. You got to make weight.
You think?
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that.
I also reached out to Lee Groves. Statistician, researcher, CompuBox, all around, just stud. And I was like, Lee, has there ever been a fight in which both fighters failed to make weight? A title fight. He could not think of any, because he is the encyclopedia. He could not think of any. He went to Grok. He went to some AI search engines. Nothing came out. So as far as I'm concerned, there has never been a title fight in which both fighters missed weight. So, and that's the case, Ryan would be stripped, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, Ben already said he's not defending the title. He's going to move up if he was to win. If Ryan doesn't make it, that probably means he's going
to
move up.
He's got more to lose, Ryan, with this, because if he wins, it's the Teofimo.
Ryan has more to lose on all
right,
of this.
Yeah, of course.
Ryan is all in every scenario.
Yeah, Ben is playing with house money, I think. But I think for Ben, this might be his only chance to win a world title. Although I would not be shocked if he got more opportunities just because off of his name and Zuffa and, you know, 154 or 160. But this is his best chance, I think.
He might be able to pick up a Zuffa title. I mean, me and you could win the Super title if we really wanted.
You definitely could. I don't know about me, but yeah, for Ben, I with the whole like I'm not gonna fight again at 147, which I don't like because fighters, fans love to see what's next. They like to figure out could he fight a Haney, could he fight this, that, and the other. So that just dissipates that whole idea. Yeah. And also, like, what's stopping Ben from coming in overweight? Like, we've seen Ryan pride. Do it as an advantage.
Pride is the only thing. Pride. It's because there's no consequence.
There really isn't a consequence. So he wins
the
title.
Well, I mean, the consequence is no, he wouldn't win the title. If he comes in over and he wins, he doesn't get the title.
But he is a prideful guy. That's Ben. I'll give him that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is a prideful guy. He got the name.
I think he's going to make the weight.
I think both guys are going to make the weight.
I think he's
going to
make
the weight. Come on.
I do
that out there.
I think that should be the betting line should be that. I wonder if there's a line on that.
There might be. And what the poly markets, the cal sheets of the world, the prediction markets.
The prediction markets.
Probably have. They could bet on anything with the prediction markets. Another question I have for Ben before we get into the odds is, can Conor Ben take Ryan Garcia into deep waters? Because we've seen Ben in deep waters. That first fight with Eubank was Rocky type shit. And you had to give him his props for that. So we've seen that. Ryan Garcia has not really been taken into deep waters. Got dropped early against Luke Campbell. Had the body shot against Tank Davis. Did not continue that fight. Has never really been in a dog fight. And never. I thought maybe Barrios would take him into that dog fight. Boy, were we wrong with that. Can Conor Ben, say we make it past the sixth round, which I think we will. Who has the edge when it comes to after the sixth round? Because I think Ben got that dog in him.
Definitely. He's gritty. He's always in good shape. The weight's going to be an issue in the second half of the fight, too. Although it didn't really show itself so much in the Prograis fight. He started really slow. He was very sluggish. He's an effort guy. He's a guy just push, square peg in a round hole kind of guy. Like, he's just going to drive. In the second half of the Prograis fight, you know, that's what won him the fight. he didn't look good doing it, but he ground it out. So I agree with you. I think in the second half of the fight, if we get into the second half of the fight, we're probably gonna have a fight on our hands. You know, Ben is gonna push and put Ryan into some uncomfortable positions. But also, another fight that you didn't mention that I think is important here is the Duarte fight.
Yeah,
Duarte. In hindsight, it's a very good win for
Ryan. Ryan says Duarte, that Duarte was the hardest puncher he's ever faced,
and I believe that. I believe that he's big, he's strong, he's physical. He had a good game plan in that fight for how to fight Ryan. That really kind of opened everyone's eyes to who Duarte was. I didn't think much of him because he had some losses on his record. And I was like, who is this guy Ryan's fighting? And then they fought. And I was like, oh, man, Ryan didn't do it again. And again, in hindsight, that's aged really, really well. And that was a gritty fight. And Ryan did have to, you know, overcome a little bit. But it also showed you that left hook is dangerous even late. So he can catch you late. Because he stopped him, what? It was
eighth round.
Eight, nine, seven? Yeah, eighth.
Okay. He moved a lot in that fight. He was on his bike.
He moved a lot because he felt the power. He felt Duarte's heavy hands. Because I've talked to guys in the gym. I've talked to Robert Garcia because he trains with him. He said he is a very, very strong guy and hits hard. So Ryan felt that power early, got on his bike a little bit, was doing that weird shoulder turn thing and bending over at times. But at the end of the day, he still clipped him and put him away, which was very impressive because Duarte has shown himself to be extremely durable.
The odds for this fight, according to FanDuel, Ryan Garcia is a minus 350 favorite. Conor Ben plus 250 dog. You want to get into the method of victory? Ryan Garcia by knockout is minus money. Minus 105.
Wow.
Conor Ben knockout plus 480. Ryan Garcia on points, plus 230. Conor Ben on points, plus 550. So Ryan Garcia is the favorite.
Vegas is looking at a KO for Ryan.
I feel like they're always looking for the knockout. I think that's I think fans kind of want to see a knockout. They want to bet on that. It's juicy. Will the fight go the distance? Yes, at plus 120. It's something that I've been looking at because obviously when you hear these two guys, you think knockouts, you think explosive punchers. They give off that intention or impression, I should say, especially Conor Ben. Meanwhile, like people I talk to, like respected boxing people, or like just some of my friends that kind of watch boxing, or just some other people like, oh, Ben's a beast. He's a dog. Like, that dude punches so hard. Dude, he hasn't had a knockout in years. Let's peel it back a little bit. I understand you're not in the trenches like we are. Ryan Garcia couldn't stop Mario Barrios. Conor Ben's never been dropped, never been down, never been stopped. I'm looking at will the fight go the distance at plus 120?
That's not a bad bet.
And if that's the case, then you might as well go Ryan Garcia points, plus 230.
Yeah, if you combine that, you do...
I don't know if you can combine those.
No?
Sometimes you
make separate bets.
Sometimes you can't parlay, I mean, like...
Maybe...
You can parlay that, because will the fight go the distance? You're not picking a winer. You're picking what you think the fight...
Right. So fight goes the distance, Ryan by decision. That's good. That's good odds.
So do you see the logic there in terms of like...
I do. Ben hasn't scored a knockout in a long time. Ryan, and you're a numbers guy, he doesn't get hit that much. Even though I wouldn't say he's a defensive genius by any means, but he's hard to get to stylistically.
It's another thing that he DM'd me about.
When we do our categories. Was his
DM? Yeah. Dude, I don't get hit. Look at my face. And I was like, you know what? I kind of agree with you there, because...
No, he doesn't get hit.
He doesn't throw a lot of punches, number one. So...
No, he slows the pace down. He doesn't, like you said, he doesn't get into wars.
Has he ever been in a war?
He's never been in a war. And that's another thing about him. And that's an ode to, you know, his defense by default. You know, he's not a defensive fighter. He's not a defensive whiz by any means, but his style makes it so it's not a high contact fight.
Ryan Garcia, last 10 opponents, got the CompuBox database here. Ryan Garcia, last 10. I got, for some reason, someone looked up Ray Mancini's numbers, the last person to use the search engine. Ryan Garcia's last 10 opponents have landed only 26% total punches.
Yeah, that's a quarter of their punches. That's
very, very good number. He's landing 31%. He is only landing 3 jabs per round over the last 10 fights, only throwing 15. Damn, his numbers are paltry.
Ryan's going to come for you, dude.
Dude, he's averaging 7 of 18 power. 18 power shots a round?
18 power shots a round? He's averaging in 10 fights?
10 fights. This is going back to the Romero-Duno fight, right up to Barrios.
Wow.
20% of his landed punches are body shots.
I love when the numbers follow what I say. He slows the pace. He's not a high contact fighter.
You'd be shocked at me how often that happens with the CompuBox. It does do that. I'm looking for a fight to go the distance. I'm leaning Ryan Garcia points. Some interesting numbers there if you want to. I know that there are going to be a lot of people betting on Conor Ben. They see the same Ryan Garcia that we've seen in the past, like, you know, has had some shoddy performances. But I don't think it's going to be a stoppage. I'm going against the grain there. I don't think there's going to be a stoppage. It's time for Chris's categories for Ryan Garcia versus Conor Ben. We start with power.
Power, Ryan Garcia. Even though, you know, he hasn't had a knockout in a while and is on a knockout of 47, I just think that his power is real. You know, he dropped Mario Barrios right away and was able to keep him at bay and keep him really on his heels with the power. So I give it that. Also, I'm going to couple that with Conor Ben struggling to make the weight. He didn't hurt or drop Progre, a guy who had been down multiple times in recent years and who was all but retired at the point. So based on Ryan's speed and vaunted left hook and Ben struggling with the weight, I'm giving power to Garcia.
Speed? Is this Ryan Garcia?
No question, Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia is very quick. He's one of the fastest guys, I think, in the game today. His ability to pull the trigger and launch that left hook is nasty. Remember when we were sitting watching the Haney fight in the first round? He threw that left hook that whizzed by Devin, and I looked at you like, oh, shit. Like, that thing was fast and hard. I'm like, yo, we might have a fight on
our
hands
here. One of the craziest in-arena atmospheres.
Sick. Absolutely sick.
I put up there with Pacquiao Thurman when Pacquiao dropped Thurman in round one.
You were in there?
Yeah, I was doing some stuff for Fox.
Nice.
That was
an interesting night. I didn't expect
Oh my God, the crowd erupted. Remember how loud it was for Pacquiao Barrios?
Yeah, it was nuts in there. Pacquiao is such a dude. He moves mountains,
bro. He knocked down Thurman in the first round. It came out of nowhere, and everyone lost their mind. So when Ryan
straight left hand to the body, right jab over,
and like, and he was like moving forward, and he just got him right in the perfect spot. So when Ryan dropped Haney in the first round of their of the fight, man, a place
was it the first round?
First or early? First or second?
It was. I don't know if it was the first
place.
I remember the first hook that whizzed by Ryan, Devin's head, and I was like, whoa. So yeah, now speed is definitely.
He did Ryan. The same thing against Barrios. He does that. He blitzes his opponents. He comes out hot. So the first couple of rounds are going to be very interesting.
That's the thing about speed, though, Dan. When you fight a guy who's fast, it's jarring. You have to get used to it. That's why when I fought Amir Khan, I came out so aggressive. I was like, I don't want him to get going and let that speed go, because he was so fast.
Fight speed
Amir
with
Khan
speed.
So,
he's got to be one of the fastest fighters of the last 20 years.
Amir? 100%. I thought he was faster than Pacquiao. His hand speed was ridiculous.
But Pacquiao has the speed, the power.
Yes. And Pacquiao has the first step. Pacquiao was the first step, and he's Pacquiao's deceptive, surprisingly so. Amir's not. You know he's coming. That's why I was able to time him so much. I wasn't nearly as fast as Khan, although I was pretty fast in my day. I wasn't nearly as fast as him, but I could time him. I knew when he was coming. So I was able to get my head offline and crack him with right hands. And in the first round, I was like, all right, I can't let this guy get going with the speed, because speed is jarring. And then I got used to it. I got used to the speed as it went. Same with Pacquiao too. I got dropped early, but then he was having trouble finding me after that, because I got used to the speed. So if you can get off out of the gate using your speed, it's jarring, and a lot of times you can catch guys.
I think we should do we watch you versus Khan.
Be fun. I like that
podcast. Like something different. Like we pull up the fight, watch along with commentary,
dude. That'll be a fun one, because we had like the game plan was like I had a game plan in my mind. I didn't really talk it over with my coach, honestly, because I was with John David Jackson, and he wasn't really like a strategy guy. He was kind of just like, you know, he surprisingly so, but he got me in great shape and pushed me really hard in the camp. But when it came down to it, like literally the night before the weigh-in. I call him into our room, or night before the fight, after the weigh-in. I go, John, I think I'm just going to go right at him. And he's like, all right, cool.
Didn't offer any resistance.
You're comfortable doing that? No. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go right at him. I'm like, I don't want this guy to get ahead of me on the scorecards and to let the world see what everyone's saying was supposed to happen. You know, so I was like, I'm going to go right at him. And he was like, all right, cool.
Fight fire
and
with
that,
fire.
So that was game plan. But that right hand I hit him with in the first round, that was in camp the entire time. I got videos of me cracking sparring partners, dropping guys with that jab to the body, right hand over the top, over and over and over again.
Yeah, we're gonna do that.
We're
gonna do that for a slow week in the boxing world. Defense.
We said it before, and this is not going. This is not. I'm Ryan Garcia, but I'm not saying this because Ryan's a defensive wizard by any means. But I think his style slows the pace so down. There's not a lot of contact, and vice versa with Ben. His style is contact, so he does get hit, and he will get hit. You know, we saw him in the Eubank fights, both of them. The second one, you know, Eubank didn't give much back, but he still get clipped here and there. Pro Gray fight, he got hit with a bunch of shots. Just because of his style, he tends to get hit more. Neither one of these guys are defensive wizards, so I'm going to give a slight edge to Garcia.
And then we got the IQ.
Ryan, again, amateur pedigree. People forget he's not an influencer turned boxer. He's a boxer turned influencer back to world
boxer
champion
turned streamer.
Dude, you watch some of his old sparring when he was like a kid. He was very good, smart. And that's why I think when I talk about him being able to pull the trigger, his ability to see openings and shoot that shot and fill the gap with those shots, that goes back to his amateur pedigree. That's always there. That's why he's got that. It's a million repetitions over 20 years worth of experience. And Ben doesn't have an amateur background, so he's been learning on the way, which is why he's much more of an effort guy. So when it comes to IQ, it's certainly right.
So we added this new one here. You have it down as grit chin. I'm gonna just say it's dog.
Yeah, that's 100% Ben. We've seen Ryan quit. We know Ben comes to win, comes to fight. He's an effort guy, like I said. He's shown a good chin. You know, he moved up to 160. Chris Eubank Jr. is not a light puncher. And he cracked Ben in that first fight. And he had him hurt a couple times. Never went down. Always roared back. The kid's got balls. He's in shape. So grit and chin, or grit or dog, definitely going to Ben. But guess what? That might be all he needs. That could be enough. This is boxing. Like, you can have you could be outscored in everything. And then, you know, the dog is what wins.
All right, time for our predictions for Ryan Garcia versus Conor Ben. I'll start things off. I do think we have a firefight for the first four rounds. I do think Ryan Garcia comes out like he usually does, out of the gates hot, and he tries to take off Conor Ben's head. Conor Ben will be forced into a firefight, and he likes firefights. Things will settle down in the middle of rounds, and then we will go to a decision where Ryan Garcia gets his hand raised. Split decision, Ryan Garcia over Conor Ben.
Nice. You kind of swayed me with the distance thing, and I've been kind of thinking that too. I'm going Ryan by decision, but Ben touches the canvas. I think he goes down at least once.
Never been down in his career.
He's the speed and the surprise aspect of Ryan's power and quickness, I think, is going to be an issue. Also the weight, you know, this weight class, you know, the size. It's going to be an issue. And I think you said, if this is a firefight, Ryan's going to land that left hook. And there's holes in Ben's defense. If you see, he does a bow and arrow when he throws his jab. He brings his right hand up and cocks it, ready to go. So he's open to the head, into the body. And for a guy with a left hook, which is what was Haney's downfall, he did the same thing. He did a bow and arrow jab and was getting cracked with left hooks over, because Ryan does have a long reach and good distance control with that paw jab. So I think we do see the distance, because Ryan's a good finisher, but it's off of his explosiveness. He's not gonna walk you down and beat you up kind of guy. I see him hurting Ben, but not being able to finish him. And I think Ben's dog and conditioning is gonna let him see the end of it. But I got Ryan decision, but Ben touching the canvas.
Chael Pitaya is the co-main event versus Noel Mikkelian. Good fight. This is for the lineal ring WBC Zuffa belt.
That doesn't have the gravitas to it. You said it, and I was just like,
He did have the Zuffa belt on his shoulder, Opataya, when they did the face off.
Of course, I'm sure
that's crazy.
I mean, that's where we're at, man. That's the move. They've got to have him do that. Opataya, I said this a year ago, or whenever they signed him. He's the tip of the spear. He's a super talented guy. He's a world champion. He's the first Zuffa champion. Yeah, he's got to flaunt that thing. He's got to do what Ryan Garcia is doing with the WBC belt. He's got to wear that thing. He's got to be seen with it. That's a huge marketing ploy for Zuffa.
That's wild. Not even the ring belt. The Zuffa belt. It looked so out of place. It was black. It is black.
Yeah,
it looks like a UFC belt.
It's a weird shape.
So they're obviously like part of the deal in your contract is you're going to rock that Zuffa belt. And it's a shame. Well, not really a shame, but it just is what it is. Like, Opataya is the best cruiserweight in the world right now. He's scary. But the minute he signed with Zuffa, everything changed. And he did an interview. He was up on one of the interviews he did this week at Fight Week, where he was like, all I do is talk about the sanctioning bodies. Well, bro, you signed with Zuffa and they made you a guinea pig. Like you said, like... You signed this. Like, you pretty much had no choice. Like, Matchroom got rid of you. No, anyone could have had you. And Zuffa came around, and you knew what you were signing into. I would like to think he knew what he was signing into.
Part of me feels bad because, like you said, he had to do this. He just wasn't getting the play. But I don't know how much play he's getting with this either.
He's getting all the wrong press that he feels like. But I feel like this fight is the first step in the right direction to putting that all in the past.
He's also getting sued all over.
Don King is...
Yeah, if Don King has anything to do with this, this fight's not
this
happening.
This fight is happening.
He's trying to do a
cease. It is happening.
He's doing a cease and desist like right now.
Yeah, I got an email from Don King. The only time you know that Don King's still alive is when you get an email from him, and it's never about like a fight being announced. It's always him trying to stop a fight from happening.
Well, he's very litigious, like historically. Historically very litigious.
I killed a man.
That's
allegedly.
Allegedly.
I don't want to get one of those emails next.
Yeah, you're going to get a cease and desist.
I will say this on Opataya. This could be the first fight for him where we can kind of put all that in the past, because there is a WBC title on the line. Noel Mikkelian did defeat Badu Jack to win the title last year. He did also lose to Badu Jack in the first fight. Badu Jack's up there in age. He lost to...
Controversial.
He lost to Maris Bredis, Noel Mikkelian. Joe Opataya is a minus 1,300 favorite. He wins this fight. I expect a spectacular knockout, because that's what Opataya does. he will then pick up the WBC belt. Then at this point, Benavidez has all the other alphabet belts. The IBF is vacant, which was Opataya's at one point. I think we're getting closer to a Benavidez-Opataya fight next year. Like, that's what we want. And I'm happy that Opataya's getting this stage.
Yeah, I'm happy he's getting the stage. I'm happy that he's getting a chance at another, like, legitimate, you know, old-school world title. I don't know if Opataya stops McCallion.
Really?
No, McCallion ever been stopped? Good. No.
Yeah, he's got three losses, but real never punchers. Been stopped.
He lost to Vlarchik, who's very good. He lost to Marius Bredis is awesome. Was awesome. You know, even in you know his older years, it was really good. He gave Opataya hell. And then the Badu Jack fight again, controversial, but he avenged it. All those guys are good punchers. You know, not like Opataya, but I think he's really hungry for this opportunity. Is McCallion? You know, he's. He fought Makabu too. That's how he won the title. He stopped him in three rounds. McCallion's good, man.
It's up there. I think 35 this is years
actually,
old.
It's actually a good fight.
Opataya points plus 190. Opataya stoppage minus 170.
Yeah, I would. I think I would if I was betting. If I was a betting man, I think I would go decision.
We got some rounds. Co-main event. The main event.
Opataya.
Demasian Van Hooter will be kicking off the main portion of this card. He is a American heavyweight with nine stoppages. He was born in Albany, fights out of St. Petersburg, Florida. I've called a few of his fights. He was with MVP on the Prospect Series, and then Zuffa scooped him up. And if you take a look at the heavyweight picture right now, especially the U.S. heavyweight picture, there ain't many guys out there. So Van Hooter, I'm gonna tune in and say, all right, let's see what this guy's got.
I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot from this fight. Akbajori.
Good, stop him.
He's fought on.
Stop him and get into that Zuffa.
He's fought on Pro Box a couple times. He's like a big basketball player type guy. Stephen Shaw knocked his head off in the first round. That was brutal.
Speaking of American
I don't know how much we're going to learn about Demazin here, but good looking kid, good looking prospect. He's a heavyweight, which we need. He's a young guy. So this could be a good entry into the world. People are saying this is a great, obviously, platform.
Got that Dutch last name, though. Doesn't exactly... Demasian Van Hooter doesn't exactly Van scream Hooter. American heavyweight.
It doesn't, but he is. And it's a... You know, America's a melting pot. And it's actually a pretty cool name.
It's a freaking cool ass name. When I first met him, I was like, this guy... I was like, where are you from? You Dutch? He's like, no, bro, I was born in Albany.
Yeah. Born in Albany, and he lives in Clearwater Beach, right? He's a Florida guy, because I know his former management.
I'm rooting for him. Kick this fight.
Yeah, of course. We're always...
Of course.
Heavyweight, American heavyweights, we root for all of them.
This card is on Paramount+. Plus. It is on DAZN internationally. So don't go looking for this on DAZN in the States. Go to Paramount+. Plus. If you have... I have it, because I don't know why I have it. I don't even watch UFC. But it's just like...
I have it because my dad watches...
Tulsa King?
Tulsa King? Tulsa King's on Paramount+. Plus. He came over to my house, and he's down in Florida, and he's like, hey, Chris, you got Paramount? He's like, I want to watch I'm watching this show, Tulsa King. Have you seen it? He's super excited about it. Tell me every plot.
It's phenomenal.
Every plot point. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I mean, I love Stallone. I got to watch it. But yeah, I ordered it right there for him. So now I've had Paramount for a couple years now.
The main thing here is this is not an $80 pay-per-view.
Amazing. Amazing.
So if you don't have Paramount, you maybe want to get that month.
It's a good card.
Maybe you want to get the month of it, because I think they got NFL football, CBS, Paramount relationship. Good card. I'm curious to see how it performs.
Yeah, Mark Magasayo's on the card. He's fighting Andres Cortez. That's a good fight, too. That's a good fight. JC Ramirez is back. He's fighting Alexis Rocha. That's really? A pretty interesting fight. Yeah.
That's not on the main card.
I guess not, no. Abel Gonzalez is a good-looking prospect who's 8-0.
They put Ramirez Rocha on off the main card? Or is that like some type of like free? That's weird.
Well, how many fights are on the main card?
As far as I've seen, it's Van Hooter kicking it off, Magsayo, Opataya, Garcia. This might be a Golden Boy thing where it's like, we're not putting your guy on the air, we're putting Van Hooter on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is a Zuffa presentation. This is the second year in a row on Mexican Independence Day weekend that Zuffa has a big card. I find that somewhat interesting with, you know, the kind of the decline in American promotions. Zuffa is very big on branding, very big on putting their flag, like tent pole events. And this is a tent pole. This mm-hmm. They're trying to make this their weekend. It's kind of crazy because forever it's been the opposite. Even going back, September 11th is on Friday, 25th anniversary. Got me thinking about Trinidad Hopkins.
Dude, of course, obviously,
got,
the Towers.
Got a goosebumps.
Remember that fight being pushed back because of the Towers. And man, that fight was sick. That was
originally scheduled for fight. September 15th. Obviously got pushed back due to the terrorist attacks. Moved to September 28th. Bernard Hopkins was running in Central Park when the Towers came down.
Wow.
He immediately called his family, immediately called Lou DiBella, who was his manager at the time, and he wanted him to leave. I want to go to Philly, just like everyone else. Like, we were all scrambling. I was in high school, I'm sure you were too. Like, scrambling, what do we do? Hopkins wanted to leave, ultimately went back to Philly. Trinidad stayed in the U.S. He landed on the 9th and stayed the whole time through. Didn't go back.
Badass.
Obviously, they step into the ring. Trinidad's ring walk was epic. He had the NYPD hat on. Hopkins did not come in the ring in his standard black executioner mask. He thought, obviously, I'm not going to do that. Came in with the red, white, and blue executioner mask. Came into America the Beautiful by Ray Charles. What a scene. I watched it last night. Tears were coming down my eyes. They had FDNY. They had NYPD. It was the first big event in New York outside of a Yankee game. First big fight, first big MSG. And then obviously Hopkins stops Trinidad, probably his best win or one of his best wins. But Trinidad had never been stopped, never lost.
And he was also a big underdog. That was huge.
36
and,
years old, Hopkins.
Crazy. And also that was the Golden Palace era where fighters were tattooing their back with the goldenpalace.com. Yeah. And I think he took, because they paid him like $100,000 for that. And then he like took that and bet it on himself. Like Bernard is just.
Different breed, you know, man.
There's different breed. Bernard was such a throwback. Bernard was like a Marvin Hagler type.
Oh, he really was. And, he became the first undisputed middleweight champion since Hagler with that win. It was part of the HBO series.
I think these modern day kids could learn a lot from a guy like Bernard. Bernard Hopkins used to always say, if you call me out, we're fighting. He fought everybody who called him out. He didn't care, you know. If they were next line, if you call them out, you're fighting.
I'm glad you said that, Chris, because have you seen what Terrence Crawford is up to these days?
Yeah, he's trolling the world, and he's having a lot of fun doing it.
Terrence Crawford, Boots Ennis, is heating up. We saw them on TNT, on national television, going at it. That was great television. It's now spilled into Twitter, where Terrence Crawford has become quite the Twitter troll in his retirement. He says, I want to see some. You want to see me come back and fight Boots? Would you fight me next? Boots replies, 1,000%. And this is when Crawford 100%. Pulls the rug underneath Boots and all of us who are excited for a Terrence Crawford comeback. No, man, I was just trying to see if you're really ducking Virgil Ortiz. Because on that TNT desk, you told me that you would fight Canelo. You would jump up. But then also you told me that you're chasing belts. So Crawford is trolling. Crawford, I don't think, is interested in fighting Boots. I don't think he's interested in coming back, but he's going to do this. He's going to do stuff like this because he doesn't care what you think. He's never cared what you think. We're all going to fall for it. Do I want to see him come back and fight Boots? Absolutely. I just don't think he will. I think he enjoys the trolling.
I don't think so either. I've been saying this from the beginning. Even when they were talking, you know, he showed a clip of him hitting pads, and they showed him that he was sparring with Lester, and that got everybody thinking, oh, he's coming back if you're sparring a guy like Lester. I'm like, I don't think so. Boots is different. He moves. Bud is different. He moves differently. He doesn't have to do anything. You know, he's a legend, a living legend. He's got tons of money. He doesn't need to do anything. Yeah, he's a competitive guy, but I think also he understands, you know, where he's at in life, and he put in all that hard work. He accomplished all of the goals possible. I mean, what else is there? I think maybe if a Canelo rematch came around, he might, but that's just, you know, that's just grabbing money before you leave. Fighting these young guys like this, I don't see
that. Ryan Garcia is calling him out left and right. He bites every time Ryan Garcia says something. He does this on Twitter. He's asked about it constantly wherever he goes. Are you going to come back? Are you going to come back? I think he enjoys that, and he's got that. He's has that fire in him. Like, you can see it in his eyes on that. On the desk. His eyes were like, he was ready to go. Like, he has that competitive spirit. Like, part of me thinks if Boots runs the table at 154, comes undisputed, at that point, he's top 3 pound for pound. I think Crawford, if he was to come out of retirement, it would be for either Canelo or Boots.
Nah, it would take too long for Boots to do that.
Not really?
Before that.
He beats Kelly next in November, and then he fights Fundora in the first half of 2027, and he fights Crawford at the end of 2027.
That fight's going to be a year away.
What fight?
The Fundora Boots fight. Even, you know, if he gets Kelly even this year, I feel like we're still not going to see Fundora and Boots until the fall of next year. And then, you know, how many years out are we going to have? We're going to have Crawford. How many years can he really play with this where he's really going to dangle a comeback?
He's 38.
And do it. Yeah. So you're saying he's going to come back and fight Boots when he's 40?
If anyone could.
And he's gonna go back down to 54.
That part is the part that's giving me some pause.
Nah, I don't think
160s or higher.
60, but even 60 will be tough at 38 plus coming back down.
It is what it is. It's keeping me entertained on the Twitter. Even
not saying he can't. I'm not saying he can't.
It's getting people excited. But Terrence Crawford does not give a shit if you're excited.
He's having fun.
He's literally laughing as he sent that tweet out.
Yeah, he deserves it.
By playing ping pong or his son's wrestling match, flying to Australia. He shows up at every fight. Enjoying life.
Why not? He was a guy who was notoriously quiet during his career. Now that he's retired, he's grabbing the microphone. Good for him.
Love that. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. I will be going live Saturday night with a watch along. Hopefully Chris can join. Chris is in San Diego for the Pro Box card.
San Diego.
Whale's vagina.
Yeah, it's movie reference in the quote in the comments there, guys. Yeah, it's gorgeous out here. I mean, I was just walking around for the past couple hours, getting my coffee, walking amongst the rolling hills out here. It's beautiful. Talk all the trash you want about California, and listen, I'm guilty of that. It's
mostly the taxes.
Gorgeous out here. It is.
Bernardo Lopez.
I mean, if it wasn't for the taxes, I probably would live in here. Yeah, the return of Bernardo Lopez. So I interviewed him the other day. Woo. He is a fun guy. He is very excited to be back. And something I didn't know, he struggled really bad to make 26 and was essentially like, nah, I don't want to say he was forced by Top Rank, but the opportunities they were giving him were all at 126. And the guy, you know, had a great title run there, fought really good fighters and was thrilling. But he said, yeah, no, I always wanted to be fighting at 30. I'm going to be a better fighter there at 30. We talked about the Navarrete fight. If Navarrete gets past Oshaki, that's a crazy good fight. Venato and Navarrete, oof. But even Venato and Oshak, I think that's an interesting fight too. I think him back in the boxing world is a very good
thing. That's Friday night on Pro Box. I have my subscription. Yep. I'm locked. I'm loaded. Heavy weekend of boxing. Got you covered. All angles. Sunday, episode 500. Recap, Ryan Garcia, Conor Benn. Saturday night, live watch along. That's it, man. Enjoy San Diego, Chris. Enjoy the call. Safe travels. See you guys soon. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Say those DMs. I was waiting for you to say something. Goodbye.